All right, why don't we go ahead and begin? So thank you everyone for joining. I know people will be joining as we start the town hall, but that's fine. Hopefully everyone will catch up. Thank you again for joining us. We are going to be starting off with the usual agenda. If we can turn to that as the usual process we've addressed so far, we're going to have the introductions. Which are myself, Louis DeLucia of Ice Miller, along with my colleagues, Michael Ott and Allison Fiedler from Ice Miller. We also have representatives of the Liquidation Trust trustee, which is Matthew Ward, who is on camera now as well as representatives of the ARN Management and Holding, which are Rick Budd and Tommy Fierro. We also may have some Alvarez and Marcel folks on as well, listening and participating. So those are the traditional introductions and those who've been participating to date. We also have, of course, the real estate update, tax update. We're providing some new information on litigation that's pending and ongoing. We'll address some of the claims. And the next town halls, which we're going to be, there's going to be a change to some degree in terms of the schedule. We'll address some of your questions. And then, of course, the trustee will provide a closing statement. Why don't we go ahead and begin with the real estate update?
Okay, great. You can hear me okay, everyone?
Rick, we can't hear you.
Oh.
Are you guys, can you hear, hear Rick?
I can hear Rick.
Okay, so go ahead. I'll fix my audio. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, sure. Okay. Thanks, Louis. So if we flip to, we have the table of contents. If we go to the next page, which is the asset summary, this hasn't changed from last time, from when we met in October. The one thing I would say is these are specific addresses for each of the assets. So as investor owners, you are welcome to visit the sites, coordinate with us. We're happy, especially finished sites, land sites, whatever you'd like to do. So we're always open. We've met with several different parties that were interested, and we just want to make sure that that offer is extended to you all if it's convenient. The next slide. So the station, as we know, is completed. We did the transition with the management company to Graystar over the late summer, fall. We had a slight dip in occupancy there. Happy to report that we're back over nearly at, back at about 96% leased on the building. So it was a brief dip, and it's been fully recovered. Our grocer is basically stocking shelves at this point. So their construction is substantially complete. They're waiting for a final CO from the city. That should not be a problem. So they were shooting for an opening in December. It looks like it's gonna be January, but that's gonna be an incredible boost to this asset, as well as our grand asset a block and a half away, which will describe to you a little bit later. We are working with CBRE for a listing as to when the right time is for this. It looks like it's going to be Q1 with you know, market conditions permitting. And so we'll have a better update for you, hopefully something more tangible after with it when we meet next next year. So the next slide. So the Grand, which is the one a block and a half away, is completed. We finished that up. We got the CO just about a year ago. We're now 67% leased, close to 70. We would expect this to be stabilized. Stabilized basically means 95% occupancy. So we're hopeful of that stabilization taking place by late summer or early fall. That that basically allows you or allows us to look to actively market the properties. The optimal sale is after the building has been stabilized for some period of time. And so we should be achieving that, you know, sometime in the fall of 2026, which leads to a potential transaction probably early 2027, as everything stands right now. So next slide, please. Thank you. So we have one property left in Delray, which is the 1070 Del Harbor Drive. We sold 1068 about 5 months ago. And that was the fourth building, the fourth home that we sold. 1070, we are marketing this with Compass, both as a rental and as a sale. So we're available for shorter term rentals, a month or 2 months, probably at the outset, because we obviously our intent is to try to get a sale. The market has been slow, choppy. I don't know what the right adjective is, but we are in the market, have been in the market, and the asset looks great. And hopefully we'll have some better news or some more liquid news next year. Next slide. So that was the end of the completed projects that we have. So our active projects is the Metro, which is the identical building next door to the Grand. Same configuration, 156 units, 104 one bedrooms, 52. We've been moving forward here, doing site work, you know, commenced in April. We have a tower crane now up. The podium deck was completed just last month. So the target date here for completion is October 2027. That would be the target date for the CO. Once we get the CO, we can start leasing. So hopefully we would have a full lease up by 28, probably more likely 29. So at that point in time, that's when we would be looking for a liquidity event. And with this, it'll be, we'll see what it looks like. I'm sure an interested party will be interested in the identical building next door, which is the Grand. So hopefully that would be good news when we get there. But in the meantime, we're forging forward. We are finalizing term sheets, or hopefully our construction loan on this project. We have been funding all along since this started out of pocket, which is fine because we had equity we have to put in the transaction anyway. So we're not being delayed at all, but we'll hopeful of closing a construction loan on this late this year or early next year. Next slide. So the Water Club in Philadelphia, we have been doing site work here as well, soil erosion work. Our building permits are in hand. We are working with two lenders here that we have term sheets on. We've not executed those yet, but we're close to doing that to allow them to start their diligence. This would be phase one only, right? So as the picture shows you, phase one, which would be 350 units. And we're also finalizing a JV arrangement with our general contractor. This is a modular building. So we're excited about that. The modular aspect basically saves some costs, but moves the construction along quicker is the biggest appeal. And because this modular manufacturer, GC, is in Pennsylvania, the transportation costs are much less than they would be, you know, if it was something, you know, a couple hundred miles away. So again, this building process should take about 2 years. If we're starting in 26, finish in 28, lease up, we're probably looking at a 29 or a 30 exit. For a stabilized asset. Next slide, please. So the map showing the proximity here, which gets better all the time when we see what's happening in the area, other developments happening in the area. And as this whole South Philadelphia landscape starts to fill in, we think we're really going to be hitting this at a great time. Next slide, please. So Legacy Harbor, our marina, which we started construction on earlier in the year with Bellingham Marine, they are on track to complete, have the marina completed in March of next year. The pictures you see there are updated pictures showing the construction progress that's been going on. We had some boats that were still in the harbor back from Hurricane Ian in 22. Those have been removed. We are excited about this. The fuel station docks, they will go in probably starting in January, February of next year and be part of the overall delivery of a brand new marina. There's a website listed down here below. So if you get a chance, you can take a look at the website. There are reservations being taken now, for the area boaters, because boaters make reservations, you know, sometime in advance. So again, everything seems to be on schedule, and we're looking forward to having this open, and more importantly, having this open and cash flowing. Next slide, please. So Guttenberg, our project Guttenberg, for those of you that aren't familiar with the area, is very close to West New York. In fact, you're walking down a street and you realize you're in Guttenberg, not West New York. So there's no grand entrance into Guttenberg, but it's a very active residential community. We have our development agreement that we executed with the town. We've completed a demo for the old buildings that were there. That site has been now clean. We're looking to have permits issued first quarter next year. Once we fine tune construction costs, which we're still in the process of doing, we'll make a decision at that point in time whether we should build this or we should just sell the land. So, the market's changing a bit, but we do think it's a terrific location for residential product. Next slide, please. So we're back to Fort Myers and with pre-development. So this is our upland piece. And we have the approvals that we obtained earlier this year to build up to 550 units. So in addition, we have on this same location, we have a restaurant lease. Just to recall that we ended up having that lease. Landry's was our tenant there. They bought out the lease, which was good news for us because it was a below market lease. We've had active parties. We've identified one, we've gone through, they've completed their diligence. So we have a lease out on that restaurant, which we think if that it's consummated the way it is, will create value there. We have started, in a couple of different, we're working with CBRE Florida on this asset as well as the marina. We've had, quite a bit of interest in potential JV partners here. So it's very, very preliminary, but the interest is definitely there. And so we'll keep you updated. Next slide, please. So our two Fort Lauderdale sites, both approved now. We had to do a demo on the North Tower. There was a small former commercial building there that was basically a liability waiting to happen with various people staying there, and we're not renting out units. So we demoed the unit. That's done. The market has picked up here as well. So we're starting to see that activity. Again, potential, JV interest just to, the JV interest could be as much as contributing the land and nothing else, or contributing the land and becoming also part of the equity too. But it's very preliminary. And this market has been slow. Interest rates will help here immensely, the reduction. That's it. Always happy to answer questions from people whenever they'd like to chat or reach out.
Thanks, Rick. I think the next section is the tax update, and Tommy Fierro will be handling that. So Tommy, go ahead. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So hi, everyone. As always with the tax portion, we always like to lead off by letting everyone know that, you know, the liquidation trustee and all of, you know, all of the related professionals are not providing and cannot provide you with individual tax advice. We're always going to urge you to consult with your individual tax advisors. The 2021 and 2022 AARs have now been filed and are available electronically by emailing us at info@airnmanagement.com. Those are going to be sent over to Omni this week, so they'll be mailed out within the next several weeks. You should be receiving those in the mail. The AARs are not going to trigger prior year amendments for these years. They will get reported on your 2025 tax returns that are going to be due in 2026. More detailed instructions will follow in the next town hall during, you know, the first town hall that we have in 2026. We'll give you a little bit more guidance on how to handle those returns. Any questions in the meantime or for your general document requests, please feel free to contact us at info@airnmanagement.com. That's it, everyone. Quick one today for the taxes.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. It's going to be fairly quick as well on the litigation, but for those new to Omni and this platform, the link for the Omni website, which has the dockets of every litigation as well as the docket of the bankruptcy case itself, is here on the screen. This is the link for the Omni Agent Solutions website, and it provides a link to every docket we'll be talking about in terms of litigation. Not all litigation or contemplated litigation is on that docket because we haven't filed the case yet, but are in mediation or settlement discussions. But that that website will contain the most up-to-date filings for each of the matters, so you can get up to speed that way. But as with the tax, there is a disclaimer on the litigation piece as well, because pending litigation, mediations, or confidential settlement discussions necessarily include information that cannot be publicly disclosed for one of two reasons, at least one being that it may be private and confidential and should not be disclosed publicly, or secondly is that it is information that, if disclosed, could damage the litigation and the claims that may be pursued. And therefore, we're going to not share that information. There are also privileges associated with mediation that would require that we keep certain conversations and negotiations and shared information confidential. So with that disclaimer, I'll start with the fact that, and there was one question I saw to answer the question. Generally, we have 22 pending actions at least. That includes active litigations as well as mediations, which are settlement discussions before a designated individual professionally trained in mediation. So we have 22 such actions. There were recent developments that are material in certain of those cases, including the three you see here under dispositive motions. Motions to dismiss were filed by the defendants in Bank of America litigation commenced by the trustee against Bank of America, in the Valley National Bank case, which was again commenced by the liquidation trustee against Valley National Bank, as well as against Deepit Anand, a separate litigation against him and his various affiliated corporate entities, such as Sapphire Venture and other property entities. Those litigations were filed, answers have not been filed, but instead the parties moved to dismiss. Bank of America was argued on the 7th of October. We're still awaiting a decision. The same is true with Valley National Bank, which was argued on October 21st. They're essentially arguing that we should not be able to pursue those claims against them. And the judge is considering those claims. We are optimistic that the court will rule in our favor, but until the judge rules, we don't know what the outcome will be. As to Deepin and On, the judge did essentially rule from the bench in that case, keeping virtually all claims against Deepin and On and his entities alive, with the exception of the aiding and abetting securities fraud and the actual securities fraud claim. We believe the judge made an error. We don't think he's correct, but we will be preserving the rights with respect to those claims throughout the case. Nevertheless, we will be pursuing the aiding and abetting fraud claim, which did survive, the fraudulent transfer claims, the conversion claims, and other claims against Deepin and On and his affiliated entities. Other substantive motions, not directly in pending litigation, but affect to some degree contested matters, which include a motion to extend the deadline to file causes of action or additional causes of action against third parties. That hearing is on for December 16th. Ironically, so far, the only objection that was received to that was a letter by Coley O'Brien, who is a person being sued. You may, of course, know him from the very beginning of the case as a person against whom we have preserved claims and who with whom we've been negotiating an attempted resolution. But he's a person being sued by the SEC for actively participating in the fraud. And he filed a letter objection to the extension. And we will be responding to that likely by a suit against him before year end. But otherwise, this will be an effort to extend the ability to, just in case we miss anything, to make sure that every right and cause of action is preserved. The same is true with the next motion, which is a motion to enforce plan regarding realty transfer. That was that's a docket number 4224. The hearing is also on December 16th. And that relates to essentially Philadelphia property development, briefly discussed as well already in Rick's presentation, and the ability to transfer and or consummate that project, create and transfer interest into LLCs that are necessary as part of the development of the project without tax implications by the city or the state of Pennsylvania. Or the city of Philadelphia or the state of Pennsylvania. We've been advised so far that the city of Philadelphia does not oppose the relief we seek. We await the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's response, but if it is aligned with the city of Philadelphia, then we should be able, based on that motion, to proceed as the plan contemplates for the transfer and development of that property without the imposition of transfer taxes, which will save the trust and you substantial funds. All right, next slide. So we are in active mediations with a number of parties. Bill, that occurred on November 11th, and you will see some news on that soon to some degree. And we also have Cipolla, which is ongoing, and we have that upcoming on December 15th. That is against Cipolla individually as an accountant slash financial advisor, as well as his various firms, for the transfer of not less than $4.6 million, as well as other claims. That mediation is on for December 15th before Judge Gerber, a retired Southern District of New York bankruptcy judge. Van Doon is another accounting firm that did work for the debtors pre-bankruptcy. We also have a mediation against them. Cipolla is a pending litigation. Van Doon is a pending litigation as well. And we're in mediation there for February 3rd, 2026, before Judge Doyne. We also have certain insider promoters that is a pending litigation against the lead defendant, Harrington. But those mediations are being teed up against Fallis, an individual known as Fallis, as well as Harrington, Cortosian, and others, which are being scheduled as we speak. Mediation against DMR related to construction contracts and construction performance. Mediation with them has been ongoing. There have been several dates of mediation. Progress is being made in the mediation, but because of the mediation privilege, I cannot disclose more, but that is ongoing. Same is true with Escaveria. Carney Stanton is also in, that is a law firm in Philadelphia, as well as a related entity known as Crystal Title. That is a pending mediation. Again, subject to the mediation privilege, I cannot disclose more, but that mediation is likely to be continued into January, and information is being shared amongst the parties. Bloomberg mediation is being scheduled. We are selecting a mediator and believe we've agreed on a mediator, and we'll be scheduling that coming up. Those are claims related to the promotion of the securities through public media, and the same is the claims asserted against potentially Bill O'Reilly, Red Seat, and others. All right, next slide. The next set of bucket of cases, if you wish, are those that are ongoing, actively litigating in this case. Whipley is another accounting firm that we are litigating with. That is in discovery. McPhillan is an individual who was part of and is part of the U.S. construction litigation and adversary proceeding. As you know, we have settled the aspects of the litigation against U.S. construction and U.S. development and its principals, but McPhillan has not. And so we are in discovery and discussions with them. Media Effective, you may recall that we obtained a judgment against Media Effective and Javier Torres for roughly $5 million. We've recovered that sum. It's been paid. There was an appeal that we took of an account of a count against him for aiding and abetting securities fraud, and his entity, Media Effective, for aiding and abetting securities fraud. Judge Sherwood had dismissed that count. We believe it is a viable count, appealed it to the district court. The judge in the district court had directed the parties to attempt to settle and or mediate. That those discussions did not progress materially or sufficiently to the satisfaction of the trustee, and therefore the appeal has been reinstated at the district court, and all motions that are pending before the district court will now proceed. So we'll keep you apprised of that litigation as it develops. Wolf is another adversary proceeding commenced by the liquidation trustee for the recovery of avoidance actions or for the recovery of transfers of hundreds of thousands of dollars transferred to Wolf and other entities and affiliated entities, and that is in discovery. Some parties did not appear, and we have defaulted them. Coley O'Brien is the person we've been, as I mentioned earlier, has been investigated by us and been in discussions, but we are likely to commence an action against him, largely for the securities fraud across the board. Gutenberg, that is a defensive litigation. That's litigation commenced against the trust, if you wish, or actually entities or propcos within the trust, for work that was performed not really by us, but by a contractor, not at our direction, but allegations have been brought against us related to work and environmental damage or damage related to the project by an environmental contractor. That is disputed. We're actively engaged in discovery, and we'll be fighting over that discovery as well because they have not been responsive. So that is an ongoing litigation. We believe we'll be successful in defending that litigation. And since we last spoke, next slide, since we last spoke at the last town hall, approximately 14.5 million in recoveries, excluding on top of that, reductions in claims or waivers of claims in terms of litigation. So just in the last couple of months, we've been material progress. We hope with these mediations and litigation to get materially enhanced recoveries for you, but we'll see how the courts progress. That is the litigation report. So the next is on claims reconciliation, but we can go through that. Mike, are you going to cover the claims reconciliation?
Absolutely. So in terms of the claims reconciliation, we have filed the 6th and 7th omnibus claim objections several months ago. All but 2 or 3 of the claims have been resolved in that. We are working through and expect.
We lost you, Mike. Do people hear Mike?
I lost him too.
I will open for a minute too. Yeah.
I heard you there briefly, Mike.
Yeah, we heard you for a second, Mike.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. I apologize. What I was trying to say, we have.
Lost you again, Mike.
Any better now?
It's, we can hear you, but weakly. We can hear you. Now we can't hear you.
Is this better right now?
Yes.
All right. I don't know what was going on there. Excuse me. Third time's a charm. What I was trying to say is we, about 6 months ago at this point, we filed the 6th and 7th omnibus claim objections that objected to almost all the remaining claims of investors and of unsecured claimants. We have managed to resolve all but 3 of the claims that are still subject to that. We are near resolution on the remaining claims, one claim we are litigating, but we expect to have that fully resolved shortly. We also have a number of outstanding claims from non-contributing investors who have not reached out to us and not sought to collect any of the 22% in distributions that we've already received. We are preparing and will file an objection to those remaining non-contributing investor claims. This will be very similar to the first omnibus claim objection, where we basically set forth the amount we believe their claim should be allowed in, or zero, whatever we believe it should be in that instance. If they do not respond, then we expect the court will enter an order allowing their claim in that amount, and we will be resolved with respect to all of those claims. That is where we are. For the most part, we are through claims reconciliation. There's not that much left outstanding. Now, that's in the bankruptcy case. There is also the restitution process in the criminal action, which I don't have any information about. We are not involved in the criminal action. The information up on the screen is the person to contact if you have any questions about that. This presentation, as with the past presentations, will be posted on Omni within a day or so, along with the recording of this town hall. And so if you don't get the information now or don't want to write it down, you can pull it up then and get the information. All right. On to other investor questions. We did not receive very many questions online this time from the registrations. I think the ones that we did receive related primarily to when the next distribution is going to be. Matthew, do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, as far as the next distribution goes, things have not changed since the last town hall, which, as noted during that meeting, we would project to be sometime next year. We did, as Lewis mentioned, have successful results through a couple of mediations that have brought in material funds since that town hall. We're continuing to develop the real estate, but you know, given the schedule that Rick announced on the real estate projects, it probably will be a little bit of time before a distribution occurs.
That was the only question effectively that we received online. It looks like the only questions we have in the chat currently are basically, I think you've answered, will you distribute any of the $14.5 million to us? Just keep in mind, it is costly to make a distribution. There's the administrative cost, then just the basic cost and the time and expense it requires the professionals to expend to actually get the distribution out. Additionally, any funds that are available that could go towards funding real estate development means funds we don't have to borrow for real estate development, which at the end of the day means a much larger, hopefully, margin on those projects. So we are taking the steps with the Council of the Advisory Board that we believe are best positioned to maximize the value of assets for distributions, which may in some cases mean holding off on a very small distribution now in favor of hopefully making a much larger distribution later. Now, whether it'll be large or not, you know, that's to be seen. When that will come out is also to be seen. And we understand there's a lot of eagerness from everybody to have cash returned. We are very mindful of that, and we are doing what we can, but it is, you know, it's difficult to project at this moment.
Yeah, if I could just add on to that, I see a question here. What does a little bit of time mean? I mean, I discussed this issue in more detail during the last town hall, but we are thinking towards the end of next year. And the reason for that, as noted, the distributions to date have been largely from litigation recoveries. We are continuing to pursue some large targets through mediation. If we can settle them through mediation, that's great, and we will try to do that. I will be going to a mediation next week, all day mediation, and we'll continue to try to mediate things. But if we can't settle through mediation, we will pursue them in the courts through litigation. But the distributions to date have been largely from successful litigation. The future distributions, again, if we hit a home run on litigation, that's great. But the planned recoveries going forward are going to be largely from real estate and largely from projects that are still in their infancy with respect to development. So I heard, you know, Rick talk about projects that would be in development through even as late as 2029 and 2030. So these, you know, these projects take a lot of time to develop, and when they are developed and monetized, we will kick money out the door, but it's probably going to be towards the end of next year. I hope that answers the question there that was asked.
Yes, another question is, when will we receive replacements for the 2021 and 2022 K1s? I believe this is about the AARs. Tommy, can you give a little more of an explanation as to what the AAR is and how it relates to those two prior K1s?
Yeah, so an AAR is an administrative adjustment request, which allows partnerships to make adjustments to previously filed tax returns. So those adjustments get pushed out to you all as the beneficiaries of the, you know, originally the Partners Portfolio Fund and now the trust. So those get reported on your personal tax returns in the year that the statements were prepared, which is 2025. They were just filed last month. So you guys, they're available now electronically. Email us at, you know, info@airnmanagement.net. We can get you a copy of that, you know, within a day or two. Hard copies will be in the mail over the next several weeks, you know, as Omni's able to process. They are voluminous documents, so it will take some time for the mailing, but we can get you an email copy right away.
There's a question. How do I cancel the real estate IRA company, which is threatening to report me to IRS, resulting in a taxable event for me? That sounds like a very individual question that I would suggest you're going to have to talk to your own individual attorney or accountant for resolution of that. To the extent that your accountant or your attorney believes that they require any information from the trust in order to resolve the issue, please reach out and we'll see what we can do. But we can't give you advice specifically on how to deal with your own IRA company. What about distributions from monthly rents being received from completed projects? Rick, would you like, or Rick and Tommy, would you like to discuss what's happening with monthly rents?
Sure. No, happy to. So yeah, the monthly rents are the revenue side, right? On the expense side are the operating costs of the building, and in the case of the station, debt service. So we sweep the excess cash that's available there, but we're not, it's not enough money that you would make any kind of individual distribution. That whole process is called NOI, net operating income. What's important about it though is that that is the basis for a potential sale. So that's what investor buyers look at, estimating what that NOI is and then paying a multiple of that. So that's why it's important, but trust me, we don't lose sight of it. That's in summary what it is.
Thank you. Next question, is there a readout of the financial performance of the station project as compared to estimates made for the liquidation plan? Rick, I'm going to pass that on to you as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure what readout means, if it's whatever the estimated recovery was before in the plan of liquidation at the in confirmation, I'm guessing, versus what we are anticipating to get. So I don't have that in front of me. If my recollections are always bad, so you can watch all the lawyers start cringing when I say recollection, is that we will be ahead of that in terms of our net recovery after the debt.
Thank you.
Right, and that's also something that we can't, you know, or that we wouldn't predict in this forum as far as, you know, listing prices and value that we would anticipate, because it could jeopardize, you know, our standing in the marketplace. So obviously there in the monthly reports, to the extent that we do have real estate asset sales, those asset sales are reported on the exhibits to the monthly and quarterly reports. So that information, you know, will be visible to you all on the, you know, via those reports that get published to Omni on a monthly basis.
Please provide an update on the Mona Shaw case, status of mediation, when the EB-5 investors were added to the contribution list, and when the funds will be distributed to the EB-5 investors. So we reached a settlement with Mona Shaw that it, as part of the settlement, included an agreement to withdraw the claim of her entity and replace it with the claims of the 13 or so EB-5 investors. They would become contributing investors with allowed claims in the amount of $500,000, which was the amount that they invested. As part of that, in order to effectuate that, Mona Shaw's counsel should be reaching out to the EB-5 investors to obtain their signature, your signature, on a contributing investor acceptance form, which will convert your claim to a contributing investor. If you have not heard from Mona Shaw's counsel with respect to this, please feel free to email me and everybody else in the next slide that you'll see, and we will forward that information along to counsel so that you can get, so we can get that completed and we can get that resolved.
Also, that settlement included a cash component of up to $600,000, 300 of which has been paid. The balance is awaiting a resolution of certain litigation that is funded by the insurance company.
There are no other questions currently unanswered on the Q&A. So I think at this point we can move to the, there's one other point before we move to Matthew's closing statement. Under the liquidation trust agreement, after 2 years from the effective date, the number of town halls, rather than do town halls every other month, it has us moving to quarterly town halls. Given the far reduced number of questions that we received in advance of this town hall, fact that we're kind of in a long phase with real estate development at this point, we've decided to switch to quarterly town halls at this point. Therefore, the dates that are up on the screen will be the town halls over the next 12 months. We will be sending up links on Omni shortly in order to registration links to Omni for everybody to sign up. There was a previous town hall that was scheduled for February 11th. We are shifting that to March 11th. And so if you signed up for the February 11th, I'm not quite sure at this point if we'll just be able to shift that date or if we'll have to enter a new registration link. If we do require people to re-register, then we will send out an email to people who registered for the February town hall and ask them to re-register for the March one. There is a follow-up question. If NRIA broke laws in ways they used EB-5ers, are their claims legitimate? The EB-5 investors, just like every other investor, did ultimately invest money that went to NRIA. So if there are, actions that were taken that broke the law with respect to EB-5 claims, you know, that was part of the resolution of the claims against Mona Shaw. But the individual investors whose money became tied up in NRIA are similarly situated to every other investor in this case. And so therefore they should not be punished and lose out on their funds because they were hoodwinked just like everybody else was.
Yeah, and we didn't just take people's words. Alvarez and Marcel and other forensic folks actually traced the funds from the EB-5 investors into NRIA-related coffers. So these were funds contributed to the debtors prior to the creation of the trust.
And with that, it's time for Matthew's closing statement.
Thanks, Mike. I've already talked a little bit about the litigation and the mediations and the real estate. You know, I'm really excited to see the real estate get developed here, because these projects, they are great projects. They're at great locations. And, you know, I think we have some really good things to come that are going to lead to strong recoveries for investors. As you guys hear through the nature of these questions, I mean, these questions are pretty varied. There's questions on a number of different topics. We still, I mean, I say this every town hall, we've got lots of balls in the air, but we are continuing to make progress, and we're doing that presently, and we will continue to do that, and look forward to seeing everybody on the next town hall.
There was one last question I did want to answer, though. Thank you, Matthew. And that is, what is the typical wait time for decisions on the dispositive motions of Bank of America and Valley National Bank? The answer to that is difficult to say, because it the judge did say from the bench that he was going to give a prompt decision. It hasn't been that prompt, but it certainly is. It could be prompt if we get it anytime this year, meaning in 2025. But they can be in other cases. For example, the district court can be very long waits for a dispositive motion on a motion to dismiss. They often can be very long waits. I've seen as long as 10 months to 3 years, but that's not going to be the case here. This is a bankruptcy case. They often move quicker because of the need to move the case along. They have creditors waiting a distribution. So in this case, we'll likely get an opinion relatively soon. I suspect Judge Sherwood is writing and deciding what to do. That's it. So thank you, everyone. Thank you very much for making the time to listen in, and hopefully we answered your questions. See you soon.